These are the same notes. I have about 15 copies I made. I asked Pastor Schaefer before we got back. I said, I think I'm teaching Sunday school when we get back. He said, yes, you are. And I just wanted to tell you, I hadn't even thought about it, and I've been running all over the place. You know, we've been in Wyoming part of the time and working on the property there. We do have a garage up now, which is good with the hail coming. We did get that. If we look at one accomplishment that we accomplished in Wyoming is getting that two-car garage up. So it's up. And it's pretty much done. Phil, just as we were leaving, Phil came over the day before we left, and he did most of the work, to be honest with you. I was the gopher, but he sprayed the whole thing and got it painted. But I've been in Florida for a week and visiting my mother, and she's doing well, says hi to everyone. Then we went, Helen and I went to Mexico for 2 weeks. And when I was in Mexico, I really was doing a lot of studying on what we were talking in the morning service is about spirit filling, and I was really digging into just breaking down Ephesians 5 all over again from a fresh perspective. And I got pages and pages of things from that. And then I came back and I said, oh, I was all fired up, ready to go to teach that. And then I said, oh, I'm doing Sunday school. In Sunday school, we're not doing Ephesians 5. So in Sunday school, we were doing types. And that's what we're going to come back to, is where we left off. And you have your notes. We had gone through those, and where we left off was on 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. So we want to come back there. Used to things. Okay. So before we get back to types, hi Dave. Let's see, hi Karina. Before we get back to types, let's look to the Lord. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ as we sang, and it's through his sacrifice that we are anything. We thank you that you have sent him and that you've accepted his work and that you've called us to salvation and placed us in Christ. And not only did you call us into Christ, but you also, with your Son, sent the Spirit that we wouldn't just have a hope for the future, but we can have a hope to live right now. And so as we look at these things, as they're discussed in 1 Corinthians 10, there's many warnings there for us. And as we look at these warnings, we ask that indeed the Spirit of God would teach us, not only that he would teach us, but then also that through the mind of Christ, we might evaluate our own lives and make corrections where corrections are due, and perhaps enhancements where enhancements are due. And we'll thank you as we work together with you, our Father, and the Spirit and the Son. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. We'll pick up again, we'll read it, and then I just want to give it a little introduction here. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, without no knowledge, no practice knowledge, how that all of our fathers, and he's talking about Israel here, he's talking about the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. He says, our fathers were under the cloud. And this word under, this should be review, which was so long ago, we probably don't remember. But this word under here would be ultimate agency. So they were under the ultimate agency of the cloud, were in the past, and all of them. Now notice that all has been repeated twice. This is going to change later on in the context. So please note that so far he's saying, he's looking at Israel as they left Egypt under the cloud, under the ultimate agency of the cloud. And as he looks at this, he's discussing the fact that all of these people who came out of Egypt, all of them had these same provisions. So he's looking at the fact that they all have the same provisions. But he's going to change later on in this context when we pick it up, and we'll see that they all didn't utilize those provisions correctly. So let's continue. So in verse 1, he says that all of our fathers were under the direct ultimate agency of the cloud, and all passed through, all of them passed through the sea. That would be the Red Sea. So they all passed through the sea. It's not the little swamp land as many of the liberals are making. It's not some wadi that's over there that dries up. This is the Red Sea. They pass. This is a sea where there's a wall of water on the right and the left, as the scriptures explain. So don't let liberals give you some kind of ridiculous understanding here. This was the pass through the sea, and it was the Red Sea. And all, notice we have the repetition of all again, and all with reference to, here we have, and all were baptized unto Moses. It's with reference to Moses. And the word baptism here means, it does mean to be immersed. Here it has the idea of being under the influence. They were immersed under the influence, the leadership of Moses. How many of them? All of them. So all of them were baptized, put under the influence of these specific Moses. And how were they put under the influence of Moses? How were they with reference to Moses? What did this? Now we have direct agency. It says, in the cloud and in the sea. I would translate both of those ins by. So they were brought totally immersed in under the Moses, under his influence. Why? How did this, what brought it about? By the cloud, by the instrumentality of the cloud, they were immersed under the influence of Moses, and by the sea. You see, Moses led them out of Egypt as he was following the cloud under the direct ultimate agency of the cloud, took them to a walled-in canyon. And here was a mountainous, rocky place that went down and met the sea. And then you had the Red Sea on the other side. Who was behind them where they came was the Egyptians. And the Egyptians were coming to punish them. And so they were trapped. And so they had to pass through the sea. So by the cloud and by the sea, they were under the influence of Moses. Now look at verse 3. And all of them, here's all again. You see, it's looking at provisions, provisions that God provided for the nation Israel. They were not a nation till they came out of Egypt. They went into Egypt as families, the family of Joseph and Jacob. You have the tribes of Israel that went into Egypt, those sons of Jacob. Now they're coming out a great nation. Many have, I'm sorry, I was not prepared. There is a scripture that tells you how many men there were that came out. I think it was a million something. So they estimate with men, women, and children, somewhere over 3 million people coming out of Egypt. It is a nation that comes out in a day. And so Israel is formed as a nation as it comes out. And they all had the same provisions from God. So they had the same leadership. They were all under the same cloud. They all passed through the sea. And now verse 3. And all the same spiritual food ate. I don't want to get into too much here, but spiritual means emanating something or pertaining to a spirit. So the word spiritual has the idea of something that pertains to a spirit or emanates from the spirit. It could be the Holy Spirit or another spirit. Personally here, I think that this food and the drink, the food that they ate and all drank the same spiritual drink, I think this. We do have Psalm, I think it's Psalm 78, which directly says that they ate angels' food. Angels are the ones who brought down the manna to them. They are the messengers of God. They're the ministers that were serving, temple ministers out of the third heaven. And it tells us very clearly, I think it's Psalm 78, that they brought the manna. They brought the food. God provided it. But the instrument by which he used to bring that food was spirit beings who are under Christ. And all the same spiritual drink drank. For they drank out of that spiritual following them rock. And that rock was, and then it says Christ or the Christ. It's not my intent to develop everything here, but there's a lot of questions that have to be answered as you look at this. But they emanate from the spiritual things is Christ, and he is the head over angels as the Son of God. And you have to answer as you look at this, how is the Christ being used here? There's several different options. It could be that it's being used as the resurrected, glorified one, which doesn't really make sense here because he didn't become Jesus till later on. And why would it use that to refer it here? It could be that it's referring to the Messiah because Christ in the Old Testament is the Messiah, the anointed one. The HaMashiach is the anointed one. And I kind of lean that way, that the rock, it's the same person of the Godhead, the Son of God. But it's using with reference to Israel and a rock. Where do you find rock mentioned in reference to Israel and also Messiah all put together in the Old Testament? Well, if you look to the book of Daniel, you're going to find that, especially in Daniel chapter 4. And then later on in Daniel chapter 9, where he's talked about as being the Messiah who's going to bring in a kingdom. Now, in this context, he was a rock. He is the solid rock, the Messiah, who's the rock that's not cut out of hands, who's going to come down and set up the kingdom. Now, as Israel is leaving Egypt, they're leaving Egypt because of a covenant promise made to who? Abraham. So Abraham was promised and made a covenant by God that after 400 years, he would bring out his descendants, the seed, out of Egypt and bring them into the land that was promised. All of this is fitting with the covenant and Daniel chapter 4, which was never realized. They didn't take the land. They didn't believe. They didn't believe the Abrahamic covenant. They were given law and they didn't keep the law. So it's total failure. Let's read on now. But not, verse 5, but not with the majority. Now, when we have this word majority, it means the greater part. You see that? But not many of them. That word not many of them is not the majority of them. Most of them, God was not well pleased. So what we have here is all of Israel came out under the same covenant. All Israel was under the same leadership of Moses. All Israel was ultimately under the cloud, and the Son of God was in the cloud. The same one who cut that covenant with Abraham was now in the cloud, and he was the ultimate authority over them as he brought them out. And by that cloud, they were placed under Moses, and by the sea, they had to go under Moses, or they would have died by the Egyptians, and they passed through the sea. God provided deliverance for them according to a covenant that was made with Abraham in Genesis 15. So it's showing here that God provided them everything they needed to come out of Egypt, gave them leadership, and he also supplied their physical needs. He supplied what they physically need. He didn't supply everything they wanted. But they did have food, and they did have water as he brought them out to fulfill the covenant promise, but they didn't believe. So because they didn't believe, we have verse 5. All of this is building to what he's going to say later on. So as we come to verse 5, he says, but not with all of them, not with the majority. So if you looked at the majority of Israel, who all has the same food, all has the same drink, all under the same leadership, all under the Son of God in the cloud who's leading them out of Egypt, all under the same covenant of Abraham, but what? With the majority of them. The God, I think God the Father is there, the God was not well pleased. He was not well pleased. Now this is important because he's going to develop into Corinthians that the Corinthians, because they are saved, they also, they're not under the Abrahamic covenant there that he's speaking of with Israel, but they also have spiritual provisions by God, and doesn't automatically mean that God's pleased with you just because you're a Christian. He sees you in Christ, but how you act may not be matching up to that. So he says, but in the majority of them was God not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. If you have it interlinear, it says scattered. That word overthrown or scattered means to bring down, to lay low. It's like something devastating comes through. I heard one writer said it's like a hurricane comes through and knocks everything down. I think this is a picture of they were laid low in the wilderness. He wasn't well pleased with them, and a lot of them had graves. They were laid low. It's like the devastating of judgment. Now, if I'm correct in that, and I think it is, this is a warning to the Corinthians, which he's going to bring up also to them later on, that because they're eating the Lordian table in an unworthy manner, many of them were what? Sick, crippled, and some of them were asleep. Yeah, they were asleep. Oh, it's good, they needed some rest. Now, you're probably right. But they were 6 feet under. So he's comparing here. God wasn't well pleased. He provided everything that Israel needed based on the covenant that was made to Abraham, but they did not appropriate by faith, and he's going to get into where they failed coming up. So they were laid low. They were brought down. That word scattered there. Where? In the desert. Now we get to verse 6. Now these things were our examples. And here's our word type. So back to what our study was. We've been looking at the uses of type in the New Testament. And a type is only a type when God calls it a type. All right? So we hammer that back in. Doesn't feel like I never left, okay? A type is a type when God calls it a type. The Scofield Bible sometimes has some footnotes where it makes types where God doesn't call it a type. So who's right in that case? By the way, I recommend a Scofield Bible. But in a Scofield Bible, when it makes up types where God's not calling a type, that means that those notes are what? Wrong. They're wrong. But here we do have types. Now it says all, so these things were types. Now this word were here is aorist passive indicative. That's nice. What in the world does that mean? It means these back there at one particular point in time by someone else came to be, were made types. So who made them types? God did. So these came to be types. A type is a specific pattern that can be followed. I'm going to hedge on that in a minute because that's what all these things are about. Okay? So it says a type. These all were our examples, our types, specific patterns. But it says they were made types by another. Who made them types? God did. If God calls them a type, then they're a type. If they're not called by God, not made by God a type, they're not types. Now let's go on, and what else does it say? All of these were examples or types to who? To the guy next door. To the guy down the street. Were these types to Israel? Are these types to tribulation saints? Who were they made types to? They came to be types by someone made them types. To who? Us! You see that? Us. Who's us? Christians. So these are only types for Christians. What does that tell us right now? If you've got an unsaved neighbor that's living next door and they come to you with something that's made in this list, can you go to this scripture and tell them, oh, here's a pattern that you can learn from? No, no, no. It has no relevance to an unsaved person. It's for Christians. It'll become very evident when you get down to other verses in this context. One of them is verse 13. You use it all the time. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. No temptation taken you. Who's you? The Corinthian saints, the Christians. But such as is common to mankind. You get temptations just like other people get temptations. What in the world is in this context? Israel. That were made types. But let's go on. But God is faithful. He's dependable. May not give 2 cents to Oren, but God the Father is faithful. You can depend. Who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, your ability. But now who is the ye there? Unsaved people? Israel? Christians. God's faithful to Christians that they'll not be allowed to be tempted. You get tempted similar to mankind. But it's God who tests Christians to see whether they're able to bear it. This is a promise to Christians and not to Israel in the Old Testament. Let's go on. Above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make the specific way out of it to escape, that you Christians, may be able to bear it. This is a promise to Christians. So, these things that happened to Israel were made types, and they can help identify what Christians shouldn't do. But they do not provide for us how Christians are to get out of temptation. It supplies as a pattern and a type, admonishes us, it warns us what not to do, but it doesn't give us information on what to do to get out of it. God hath provided for you a way of escape, not for them. You have provisions because you're in Christ, and you have provisions because the Spirit of God and the Son of God and the Father indwells us. We have provisions to us that Israel never had. So in this context, we can learn from their mistakes on what not to do. But it doesn't, we can't go to the Old Testament and learn how to get out of it. We have to go to the New Testament and find the specific way of escape. Let's get back to verse 6. By the way, any questions? Am I unclear? It's been a while. Okay, verse 6. But these things, what's that? Israel going through, Israel getting all of their provisions under the Abrahamic covenant. All of these things that happened to them as they went through the desert and they dropped dead in the desert, all of these things in the context, God made them types, not for all people, for Christians. And in what way? He says these things were types, came to be by another, types of us, concerning us, with reference to that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So here we have a pattern or a type, but it's a pattern that specifically, that's what a type is. It's a specific pattern that's laid out. So we have specific patterns in the Old Testament, but what kind of patterns are they? I asked Helen if she had any, but she sold them all. I thought it would be real good. I know, Missy, you do this, and I know, Michelle, you do this. What do you have patterns that are what? For making clothes, right? And you guys sew, right? Who else sews? Anybody else? You sew. Helen, do you sew? No way. She does. Okay. But you have a pattern. And I remember those patterns. I remember looking at them. It'll give you like different lines for different sizes to cut out the fabric. And then somehow you know how to sew it together so it looks good. And it's not all lopsided and all that. But hopefully. I know, Gene, you make sweaters. Is there a pattern on those also? Yeah, so she has a pattern, and she has a knitting machine. Used to. I remember going over there, and I said, what are you doing? I'm making Christmas presents. And she used to go and whip up those. Everybody gets mittens. Everybody gets a hat. Whatever, she'd make up the things. Okay, you did a pattern, and that you followed a pattern. But is that what this is talking about? Is it that kind of a pattern? No, what this is, where every guy, well, most guys, let's not say every, most guys are going to fail here. Because I'm going to ask the ladies, if guys are doing anything, do they read the instructions? Guys, be quiet. Ladies, if they need help to find someplace, I know that restaurant's around here somewhere. Let's ask somebody. Are guys going to ask? No. What, are you kidding? I can find that. It's got to be right around here. Right? Oh, Dave, you do ask? No, he doesn't. Okay, cool. You got Karina. She's going to keep it honest. No, you don't. Okay. And now, Christmas morning. I don't do this anymore, but I used to. Christmas morning. Okay, it's rather Christmas evening. It's Christmas Eve. Kids are all asleep. No kids in here? No. Kids are all asleep. And there's Dad. He's got to start putting stuff together. So there's a bike I got to put together. There's a wagon I got to put together. And then you open up the box and you dump everything out. Oh, what are these things? Let's just put it together, right? Do guys look at the instructions? Usually not. You say, I know, the wheel goes, what? Dan, what? No. Okay, he's gonna be, I don't. Come on. Yeah, when you every guy, it's like with the butterfly song. It's like instinct. You could lock a guy up for 10, 20 years and he'll still come back and know how to put the wagon together. Until we go and we look and we say, what's all these extra pieces? I know she's asked me this, and what do you, I don't know if you do what I do, but she'll go, how come you got screws and stuff left over? And I said, those are extras. They just put them in the bag. You don't really need those. Hey, guys, you ever work on an engine and you pull the engine apart and you're taking the thing apart and then you put it back together again and somehow you always have extra stuff? Do you ever do that? I took a whole engine apart, put it back together again, the valves and all that, and there's like a few screws and bolts. Didn't need that stuff. They're just extra, right? But we don't read this. But this says that this is a pattern. It's not a pattern, a type, like a woman's dress pattern that you follow. But this is a warning. This is a type and a pattern that you can look at that has a warning. I tried to... like this. I pulled this out of my RAV4 that's out there. And by the way, did anybody ever read this thing? No. You did? There's one in every crowd. Okay. You see here, I looked through this book and there's all kinds of patterns. And it has these little circles. What does that mean? Don't do that. So it's got all kinds of things. So it's got a whole book of stuff that says, yeah, do this. Over there is a gas cap. You unscrew it. You put the gas in. But there's also sections where there's patterns that are on here that give you pictures of what not to do. So it says, don't fully extend the door. That's what this is about. Because if you don't fully extend the door, the wind's going to take it and hit you in your back. That is. We don't need that. That's for wimps. Oh, what's this? Oh, here's a whole bunch, and it's all on little kids, on how not to put little kids' seats in the car. Yeah, don't put the seat right in front of the airbag. Don't hold your little kid in your hand in front of the airbag. So they have all kinds of patterns here, which are little pictures of what not to do with the little kid in the car, or Dave's going to pull you over. See? So here's all those things that are in here, what not to do. So there's a whole lot of this stuff. And I was looking. I got all of these different things. here's a reciprocating saw. So it like says, you know, like don't put your hand there. So, you know, you're cutting, you cut your fingers off and stuff. Oh, here's a grinder. And I remember there was a big picture in here of don't put the safety plate in the front. Put it in the back of the grinder. It's like, you know, I don't need that. Oh, but, you know, you hurt yourself. Oh, this is a good thing on a nailer. Don't put your foot there while you're nailing. In fact, the guy that was building our house, he did that. He was building the deck, remember? And then all of a sudden, he stopped building the deck. I said, where are you going? He had a nail through his foot. So he went and he nailed his foot with the... Weak. Just pull it out. Somebody got a claw hammer? This is a tile saw, and there's a whole thing in here of pictures of what not to do. So it says on this tile saw, always pull it back to you. Never go this way. I'm still not sure why, but it said something about it's going to chip it and shoot the things all over. And then it says something silly like, oh, wear goggles, because if you don't, then it's going to go in your eye and you shoot your eye out. So it has all these warnings of what to do. My point is, all in our life, there are things that are written in all kinds of instruction manuals, but do we really read them and do we really heed it? And the answer is, a lot of times we don't. Now, Helen does, because she's a goody two-shoes over there. And she's like, there's always one in the crowd that wants to tell you, oh, I did it. That's why you're hurt now, you know. So that's what she does. She's good at that, okay? So anyway, God has written in the Scriptures. We just read that, verse 6. God has written in the Scriptures. Well, I didn't write the... we need to go back. He's put these things in the Scriptures, and it's very strong in the Greek. He writes and he puts a perfect tense there and he says, these things stand written. If you're going to extend it, these were written in the past with the present results. They're still written. What he's saying is, the word of God is recorded and it stands written. And he's given this to Christians to read the Old Testament. So this is a section that tells us that we need to go back to the Old Testament and see how these guys messed up. How they poked their eye out, how they cut their hands off, you know, I'm exaggerating, how they put their babies on their lap and the kid dies because the airbag blows up. You know, but these are different things. What he's going to do is name different things, and it's split into two groups. The first section talks about lust. This is what happens in your mind before you do anything. So he first talks about the source of being unpleasing to God. And the source of being unpleasing to God is having evil, lacking in character, lust. Then he talks in the next section of specific actions that took place in the Old Testament. It doesn't give us license to go anywhere in the Old Testament. My time's running out, so I'm not going to be able to do this, but we're going to go through these sections. And we're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're going to go back to Numbers. We're going to go back to Exodus. We're going to go back to these sections that he talks about, because he says, these things, and that limits it. These things, not everything in the Old Testament. These things were made by God, came to be by God as types of what not to do. These are the big red circle with the line through it. Don't do this. See? It's the warning of what not to do. So this is a pattern in the Word of God with a red circle with the line on it, that you can go back to the Old Testament and be warned. So we're going to go back to the Old Testament, look at these types that God has made, both about the lusts, which precedes the action. You always lust before you act. And then the actual actions, what the lust produced. And we're going to look at what's mentioned by God. So he says in verse 6, that we might not lust after evil things, things that are lacking in character, just as those indeed lusted. Now look at verse 11, and then we'll quit. Now verse 11 has a lot of textual problems. If you have a Marshall's Interlinear, I'm going to rework this. The King James is actually a more accurate representation of the Greek. The interlinear, it messes up here. So it says, now all of these, are types, and they happened, I'm retranslating, all of these things are types, and they happened, they came to be, happened. Now this word happened is a different word. We'll discuss it next week, Lord willing. This is not the word for come to be, as I just said, but it's the word to be brought together in step. They all were in step together. All of these things are types, and they were stepping to these men stepped together and were written. That's what I want. And were written for or facing our admonition. That word admonition means warning. I just showed you in all those catalogs, it said warning, warning, warning. These things are in God's word, and it says warning. So all of these things are types, and they were brought together in step together for what purpose? So that they could be stand written facing our warning. That's very literal in verse 11. We'll pick that up next week. But the important thing is that God not only had these as types, but then he had them written in the Word of God for who? They were written way back then, but they were written for us. To be what? A big red circle with a line through it. Warning, warning, warning. Don't do this. And then it's going to go into verse 13. That we have a way of escape. We have something better. And we can escape these things. Warning, you have the ability, God-given ability, to overcome these things. Pick up next week. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you that these things do stand written. And thank you that you are a faithful God. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay.